All right, nice to have you with us as we get ready for baseball today, the second game between the Giants and the Nationals. It'll be John Lester on the hill, 37 years old, 437th Major League start, and he goes against Anthony DeSclafani, his 133rd Major League start, and for the first time in his career looks to be a double-digit winner. And the Nationals, after two back-breaking losses, try to get the ship going in the right direction today. We're joined by Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Always a pleasure to talk with Mark. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good. The stats will sleep. It's good to have a few days off coming up. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. So you are going to take a few days off. Do you watch the All-Star game? And are you interested in it?
It's actually funny. I was just coordinating with a relative that I'm going into New York City on Tuesday night, so I might miss a chunk of it. I might get to catch the end, but I will be otherwise occupied with fun and sober fun.
Very good. Any All-Star game memories? It's a popular question this weekend.
Yeah, it's funny. I was trying to think of like my first one, and really my first one is probably Fred Lynn versus Atlee Hammaker in the 83 All-Star game. I was 8, so that rings fresh in my mind as something that would have been like a first thing. And I remember, no offense to Atlee Hammaker, but I remember my dad was like, well, he's not necessarily like an elite pitcher, and Fred Lynn's a really good player. All that stuff was just being explained to me at that age. So yeah, that's what I remember. Not
right,
a great time memory.
Certainly in Comiskey Park in Chicago. And coincidentally, Atlee Hammaker will be the guest of Bill Lasky on the Extra Innings show today after the game, which should be very interesting to have him talk. Yeah, to have him talk about that All-Star game. Very good. Good coincidence there. All right. As I said, our pitching matchup today, we've got two pitchers in their careers. They've thrown 570 Major League starts. They go at it today, John Lester and Anthony DeSclafani. How do you see this one matching up?
All right. So we'll start with DeSclafani. His slider has been very good of late, and that's certainly been a key to his success. I recommend to anyone that wants to read about the Giants pitching staff, Ben Clemens from Fangraphs did a nice piece where he went through every guy and like how they are different, how they've changed. And that's been talked about. The nice thing about DeSclafani this season is it's a great reclamation project story. There are more of those actually this year in the American League than there are in the National League. DeSclafani has the second best ERA improvement last year to this year. Steven Matz, former Met, is better. Other guys that are up there, Robbie Ray, Kyle Gibson. The one thing I want to note with DeSclafani, he has fattened up a bit on bad teams, 7-0. 138 ERA against sub-500 teams this season, so he's taking care of business, so to speak. John Lester, I hate to say it, but it seems like he's nearing the end of the line. Last three starts, 12 ERA. Last three seasons, 4.8 ERA. Best pitch this year is his changeup. He doesn't have anything to go with it, though. Like, he can't set it up with anything. So I guess that's problematic for him. In theory, potentially a good day for the Giants if they can get their bats going again.
You know, when I look at DeSclafani, I think of Gausman. Right-handers, 164 against DeSclafani with three of the 11 home runs. But the leadoff hitter, believe it or not, I looked this up, has hit five of the 11 home runs. The leadoff hitter in the lineup. How about that?
Yeah, I guess that's one of those things I feel like that's one of those things that just happen. I don't know if it's a thing with like locking in. That's one of those where I would trust Mike Kruko to say what the answer to that is rather than myself or Bill Lasky for that matter.
All right. That's a very good question. That's a good one for Bill to answer when we get back tomorrow to talk with him. John Lester, interesting that the Nationals picked him up. Of course, it looked like their pitching staff was going to be very strong. And now it's turned out that he's sort of a mainstay of the pitching staff.
He is. The ERA is up high, though. The last three starts haven't been great. As I said, kind of end of the road-ish, maybe. 37. He's had a terrific career. I looked up for John and Dave today. I was looking for, like, historical comparisons that would be contemporaries of Mike Kruko, since they're both working with him today. And I came up with a list of wins above replacement guys that are similar. It's Jimmy Key, Bob Welch, Jack Morris, Vida Blue, Steve Rogers, guys that are like very, very good. Jeff Morris is a Hall of Famer, but like they're very good. They get to this point where they peak at their very, very goodness. They're not necessarily Hall of Famers, but they're guys that you would want to pitch for you for 15 years and who give it everything that they've got. And I think that's what John Lester is. And I think that John Lester's just aged like anybody else.
37 years old, righty's 62 for 188 with 11 of the 12 home runs, the OPS 978 for right-handers against John Lester. So we'll see what happens today. Did you see some of the Giant game last night? Did you get to watch some of it?
Yeah, I did, and certainly Brandon Crawford's defense was the thing that stood out to me in that. Between the diving play and the throw to second and the subsequent double play, and then the double play in the eighth, and the throw home, I know that was his first of the year where he's done that, but I know there are previous years where that's a Brandon Crawford special, where it's like ground ball to short with a guy on third and he throws the guy out at the plate. That's something that's been a staple for him. Good to see that the double plays were turned. That's something that's been a little down for him the last couple of seasons. That was the thing that stood out. Plus, of course, the bullpen at the end of the game, not just Rogers to McGee, but also Dominic Leone, too. He's been very good.
You know, when you look at Crawford's defense and the double plays, there's another part of that double play. First of all, the diving up the middle and the flip with the glove was just fabulous. It was back to the World Series with Joe Panik. But Solano turned both of them, one barehanded, and then on the second one, he got the ball, wasn't sharply hit with Parra, and Crawford then just threw a laser to first base on that one.
Yeah, we do something in our system where we call it like good double play turn. And he only got one last night. I thought he should have gotten two, and I might appeal that to our people that make those decisions because I thought that those were impressive. Brandon's had a lot of double play partners the last couple of years, and I think that may be, since Panik left, and I think that may be a reason that I mentioned that the numbers were down for him. But the more, like, with this team, it just seems like everything comes together just right, as it did on those plays, as it did. I don't want to knock him. He plays hard. He's hit the heck out of the ball lately. Wilmer Flores throws to first. The first baseman's got to do real work on those, and the first baseman has done real work on those, and they've done very well at scooping Wilmer's throws the last couple of days from what I've seen.
You know, we chatted about this earlier, and, you know, I like to go off the script here for a couple of minutes with you. The value of Brandon Crawford possibly as an MVP candidate. And in talking about on the show today, there's Tatis in San Diego. Then maybe Crawford is a second choice. I mean, your Mets, I don't know if you have anyone there.
Well, DeGrom.
Well, DeGrom is a pitcher, but they get their own award.
Yep.
Then you've got the Brewers, who offensively aren't doing much. And then the Dodgers and, of course, the Padres with Tatis. So maybe Crawford is in the top two or three.
Yeah, I think that's fair. My thing on that is that I think you reserve judgment to see what happens with the Braves, because if the Braves go hot in the second half and they win 60% of their games and they chase the postseason and they get really close or they make it, Acuna has a 985 OPS. He's got 24 home runs. He's got 16 stolen bases. Maybe he's 40 and 35 by the end of the year. He's going to have Tatis-ish numbers, I think.
Okay.
And, you know, last year it was Freddie Freeman. This year it's Acuna. And I think he's worthy regardless. He's more likely, I think, to contend if they get a little closer.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens there. The Nationals used to be the Expos, and they had a great player by the name of Andre Dawson. Today is his birthday. And Andre Dawson, what I remember is he signed the contract with the Cubs and left the money out and said, I just want to play, because he was getting colluded in free agency, and then went out and hit like 49 home runs. Andre Dawson, a great Hall of Famer, but he's one of the staples of the old Expos team.
Yeah, absolutely. And someone worthy of, we try and do something history in this segment each week. 67th birthday, now a mortician, and a successful career as a mortician. Impressive that he was able to make the transition. I remember that the 87 season, the 49 home runs, 137 RBIs, hit great in a very strong offensive year. The consistency for him was really good. the shame of it was that his knees weren't great, and he petered out in a couple of different respects. When he was peak, like, the comps, I think, at least statistically, are like Beltran. And he was Beltran for long enough that he was viewed as the Hall of Fame caliber player by the voters. And his numbers look great at the end. 438 home runs, 314 steals. The OPS compared to league average a little down, but peak Andre Dawson was like a super-duper star. And that would be a guy that you would want, and that would be a guy that, if he racks up enough of those years, gets into the Hall of Fame.
Well, good for him. He is in the Hall of Fame. Andre Dawson, a birthday today. I'll leave you with this. I think DeSclafani should have been an all-star ahead of someone on the Mets by the name of Taiwan Walker.
All right. So if you're going to start with me on that, Taiwan
Walker's
gently,
really
very
good gently.
All year. He's been really good all season. He throws a very hard sinker. It's very hard to lift. It's kind of, it comes obviously from overhand as opposed to Tyler Rogers. He's tough to hit a ball against. He runs into these, he'll run into like one issue a game. If he gets through it, he's really, really good. And otherwise, he's just okay. But he's been terrific. It's essentially the same guy. Like, you could have gone either way on that. I think Walker kind of catches a break because DeGrom's not pitching. But I think Disclafani's in a similar boat with Gossman. Either way, I don't think you could have gone wrong, and I think you would have been annoyed one way, and maybe Mets fans would have been annoyed another. So that's how it goes sometimes.
Well, that's baseball, as they like to say. All right. Have a great week off, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week, back with the St. Louis Cardinals next week.
You got it. See you, Marty.
All right. Thanks, Mark. That is Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Thomas Harding is next, MLB.com, and he covers the Rockies, but more importantly, he covers the All-Star Game in Colorado. We're going to talk to him about that when we come back. KMBR 680, 104.5 FM, the sports leader.